And welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham-Ashby. And today, I'm deeply honored to have as my guest, Marlo Parrijo, out of Trinidad and Tobago. Welcome to Visions, Marlo.
Hi, Yudalee. How are you doing?
I'm
glad to be here.
Yes. So, Marlo, let's start at the beginning, because I know that you acquired your disability. So can you share with us a little about yourself, and then we'll get down to the nitty-gritty?
Oh, sure, no problem. I was born quote-unquote regular. I lost my sight at the age of 31, and I am a serving member of the Trinidad and Tobago Police Service. So at that point, I was afraid that I would lose my job. But I tell people that a disability is a problem, but it's not the problem. The real problem is actually ignorance. And the more I learned and the more I trained, the better I became to navigating my world and not just coping, but excelling in spite of and because of my visual impairment. So it depends on how you look at it, I would say. But it wasn't an easy transition. I was in depression for a month. And that's just because I didn't know. Now that I know, my whole thing is to help other persons who are in similar situations to get back on the train as quickly as possible. They don't have to wait a whole month. They can do it within a week or so, depending on the person's temperament. So that's me in a nutshell. I have 3 girls. One is 20, one is 13, and one is 7. The one who's 7 years old believes that she's 20, and all those things, and all the things that come with parenting, a guy parenting 3 girls, and the fact that the girls can't see, it's not as easy as people may think, because trust me, children will run rings around you.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
I know.
If they can't see. Some people feel that because they are children, they will understand that, no, children are children. They know they can't see. They will try to steal cookies and all these things because they know they can't see them. It doesn't work like with the way that some will be different children, children are children.
Right. Okay, so let's backtrack a little to what was your role in the police force as a sighted policeman?
Well, my main function was a forensic artist. A forensic artist is someone who will sit with a victim of crime and will draw a face based on the person's description.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because I can't see now, that is kind of out of the question. Although I have heard of persons who do, in fact, draw without sight, I'm not sure how it's going to work out within the police service, because forensic art is more science than actual creativity. But you never know.
Right.
I can't remember who said it, but they say everything is impossible until somebody does it.
Mm-hmm. It just takes a thought and think of how you can get this thought into reality. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were a forensic artist, and what is your role now?
I'm a criminal analyst. Basically, let me see how I can describe that. I would take crime trends and I would make recommendations based on the trends of crime. So, for example, in my country, there may be a specific area that has like break-ins or things of that nature. And I would take all the statistics and I would analyze it and create a report based on that with recommendations and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it involves actually doing presentations for stakeholders, be it the Commissioner of Police or even Minister of National Security and so on. So part of it involves that. And that in itself is a big thing, because most of the time when I do presentations, they are more concerned how I'm doing the presentation rather than the actual presentation itself. So how you know that this slide have this? How you know that slide have that? But it is something that a lot of people are still getting accustomed to. But that's what my function in a nutshell, in addition to supervising other persons to do the same.
Fabulous. And I must commend the Trinidad and Tobago Royal Police Force for retaining you after you've lost your vision, because we hear so many stories of persons after they acquire a disability being terminated, being separated from their jobs. So I must commend your supervisors, your superiors, who saw a role that you can perform, and I congratulate you as well for being able to do your work diligently and excellently.
Well, we're getting there. I mean, is it not Barbados was the one that had a totally blind president of the Senate? So we're getting there.
Good, good. Well, the thing about it, Marlo, is that I want you to really share how you made the transition technologically, because in order for you to perform your task, it means that you have to use the technology extensively
Right.
to, complete your various tasks.
Understand. Well, I mean, I had to create reports, and prior to learning this skill, I had to literally dictate my reports to another individual. That, after a while, began to get frustrating because by me dictating reports to somebody else to type it out for me, that means that I would be taken away from what that person had to do because they had their own functions. So technically, it would be a shit on him. And then a friend of mine told me, hey, why don't you go to the Blind Welfare Association and learn how to use computers? I honestly did not believe that that was even possible because ignorance is a funny thing, you know. The average person believes that all blind welfare does is teach people how to make baskets when that is not entirely true. So I went there and I met with my very first computer literacy teacher. And from the time I heard her typing and I asked, are you typing? She said yes. Can you see? She said no. That was enough for me. If she could do it, then I can do it too. Do you understand? And the computer literacy course is about 3 months accordingly. I took one because I told myself, listen, I was working against time because if it is I can't do certain things, then what's the point the police service is going to keep me? So I was able to navigate my computer, and before you know it, I'm getting to learn about other things. I'm getting to learn about phones that can talk. My very first phone was an N something that had a program called Talks program. And I thought, well, hey, buttons, and I can going into YouTube and listening to videos about blindness and how to navigate a technology in a blind world, I should say. And eventually I got on to liking the Apple ecosystem, like iPhone and the Mac and so on. And from there, and even now, that the more things that I learn, I just crave to learn more and more and more and more. That's one thing with me. From the time I learn something and I believe I perfect it, I get bored quickly and look for something else to do.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, I get bored really, really fast. Like, oh, okay.
This
So I conquered it. Now what? Yeah.
right. So learning how to use the technology effectively has truly enabled you to carry out your duties very
Yes.
efficiently.
Yes.
Nice, nice. Okay, so how did your colleagues respond to you when you first lost your sight and came back out to work?
I said ignorance is a funny thing, and they were as ignorant as I am. I didn't know, and they didn't know. All they knew is that they were going to carry me to blind welfare, and they're not sure what I was doing. They had no idea that I would learn to type. As a matter of fact, prior to becoming blind, I did not know how to type. No clue. I used to type like most sight people do, two fingers. Yeah, I thought that was typing. I learned to truly type blind. The concept was this, that the average typist does not look at the keys. So they
Correct.
don't look at the keys and they look at the screen. So that means I don't need to see the keys to type. I say, oh, that makes sense. And then I realized every time I touch a key, I would hear what it is. I said, then it is possible because you don't need to look at the keys. And it was so funny that there was a time a colleague of mine, I decided to carry my laptop outside and type. And a colleague was saying, why is that going so fast? Because I'm typing fast. That's how fast you type in? Like, yeah. Yeah, but I could see how to type so fast. I say, well, I don't know. Close the eyes. I don't know. Because it is listen, typing with two fingers, it is not typing. You're just poking keys, and there are some people who will argue, why let's type fast? Yeah. Try doing a 5,000-page document typing with two fingers. Madness. And
Right.
to the point where there are even some sight persons who actually type for things for them. It's just ironic that the fact that the table's around where I would dictate to somebody to type out things for me, and then eventually it comes to pass that people are dictating to me to type for them.
Right.
So it's from Word and then Excel. I love Excel. Well, I like Numbers for the Mac, which is like the Mac version of Excel. I would tell any blind person in the regular job force, that administration and so on. Once you know how to use Excel, you become an asset because nobody likes Excel. The average site person,
I know.
they'll watch Excel, they'll watch all the numbers like, ugh, I don't want to do that. But once it is, you understand how to navigate it and how to get the formulas to do what you want it to do, eventually there is, oh, we're not using that so fast because that is you learned it. So you take what the other person don't want and make a niche for yourself. And
Correct,
if
correct.
most places that ask for employees, they literally put Excel as an asset because basically nobody wants to do it. And that works well not just with inventory, it works well with quality data records and all
Right.
those things. And some quality
Okay.
records have 10,000 rows, and yes, you have to be able to summarize all those things. And
Right.
then all of a sudden, AI. And
Oh,
AI
yes,
has
that
changed
has
the PD
definitely.
landscape.
Definitely. Right. So we've talked a bit about your work and we can talk more about your work, but I also want to hear your thoughts and what your experience was like with your family after you lost your sight.
I mean, it was an
'Cause
adjustment because my first daughter, I lost my sight when she was six. My other children, they grew up knowing me, not seeing. So the paradigm is different for my first daughter and my other children. So my first daughter knows me seeing, going to her dance recitals and all those things. And then when it was gone, it would have been a little hard for her. It was even harder for my wife. I noticed how much years after that she would cry herself to sleep. I didn't know that. Now, to be honest, in the first month of blindness, I was not a very nice person to be around because you go through all these stages: denial, anger, fear, depression. And it'd be so ridiculous. I would literally push people away from me and then wonder why nobody wants to be around me. Ridiculous, huh?
But it
Because
happens.
some. Yeah, you feel that you're going through it on your own. But when you think about the other person, because I would think to myself, listen, yes, I'm going through blindness, but my family has to watch me go through it. And that in itself is a turmoil. And if somebody were to ask me if I would rather be the sighted one and my wife the blind one, I don't think I'll switch places. And I don't think I can handle that. So now I understand when I wanted to travel on my own, her concerns. Because she was blind one. She wasn't going anywhere by herself. No. And I've got Kana and a chauffeur. But when I wanted to go out on my own, to travel to work, just to go to the grocery, it was a bit of an issue for her because she's afraid that something's going to happen. A car will hit me. Somebody who I arrested will come for me. All these things. So, I mean, it's all about understanding where everybody learning at the same time. And I would say I'm very fortunate to have all my family around me, my brothers, my sisters, my one of my parents here come, my father passed, and my children and so on. And I learned that there are some blind persons in Trinidad. When they see that there's a couple, when one member of the couple goes blind, 80% of the time the other one leaves because they tell themselves, you know, well, I can't listen, and they're gone. So I am very fortunate to have my wife still around. And so on. I am not a chef, but I can at least cook so that I don't starve. And my thing is this, is that my wife and I, we have three children. My wife doesn't have four children. You understand? I am a man, although I'm blind, and I believe that there are certain, that is me, that's my opinion, that there are certain things that men ought to do, whether they could see or not. When I carry out my garbage or I clean the bathroom or whatever, and they ask, why does your wife do that? I said, no, because I am a man. And if I decide I want to clean my bathroom, I will clean my bathroom. When I go to travel, let's say I'm commuting down the street and I'm walking with my wife, I open the door for my wife. It will seem funny, but at the end of the day, that's me. When we go to the restaurant, I will hold the chair for my wife to sit down, because that's me. It's not to say that I'm going to change simply because I can't see. Everybody in my family has grown up to the point where I think there are people who can't even remember the days when I had sight. Everything is more or less around the past 14 years or 15 or 13 years when I couldn't see.
Well, that is really beautiful to hear the love and support that your family is giving you, because you correctly said there are some families, not only in Trinidad, but across the world, where the family is not as supportive. And like you, I understand the challenges that and the emotional turmoil that the partner goes through when, you know, the one partner is blind or visually impaired or has a disability, because how our society views people with
Yes,
disability also
correct.
impacts the
Yeah,
partner,
correct.
no?
But and everything is attributed to ignorance. I know
Correct.
somebody who lost their vision and their wife, in an abundance of love, but not so much common sense, put mattresses on either side of the bed in case he fell down. And I have to ask myself, when you're sleeping, aren't your eyes closed anyway? So,
Correct.
not in case, so why would you put that in case he, come on, you could roll off the bed, whether you could see or not, the eyes are closed. But
Right.
sometimes, you know, it's missing ignorance. They don't know. So they're trying their best to manage based on what little information that they have. So the best thing is to lose it. Sometimes, you know, they will drop off somebody at the blind welfare or whichever organization that assists with mobility and so on. It is good for the sighted family to stick around, see what's going on so that they can duplicate it at home. They will
Right.
understand why blind people do what they do in the home.
Way
When
they
I'm
do,
walking
yeah.
around, yeah, I will walk and the back of my hand will touch the wall. That's what I do. It'll seem odd, but that's what I do. They will understand why when I'm walking along the pavement, I use the outside edge of the pavement rather than the inside where all those doors and buildings are, because I don't want to, yeah, tincture a doorway and things like that. So I use the outside edge of the pavement. And there are people say, oh my God, you're jumping the road. No, I won't jump in the road, really. Come on. But I use the edge of the pavement because it is a straight line. The cane will touch the edge of the
Yes, it's a
pavement, so I
guide.
walk in a straight line. When people are like, walk in the center. Okay, where's the center? And if I'm in the center, how do I stay in the center if I have no edge to touch? Do you understand? And people don't understand that
Right.
straight is not a direction. Is that a left or right? Straight is not a direction. Walk straight, walk straight. Come on,
Yes.
really. And we don't have the thing like in, I think in parts of the UK where they have a rough part in the center of the pavement. So at least you can feel the rough part under your feet and then you will stay there where, but it's not. I just learned use that. Once you have an edge, you could go like that. Even if you're in a field, in a savanna, a rectangular savanna, and you're on one corner, the average sighted person will walk in a straight line to the other corner that has the exit. A blind person, however, will just follow the edges. It is safer that way. Maybe you can't walk diagonal, especially if you can't see anything like myself. It's going to be really, really
Correct.
problematic. So they'll go around in a line. And that's how I walk. But a lot of people make
Right.
certain decisions because they don't know. So.
Well, we have to find the techniques that will be effective for us, that will keep us safe and at the same time allow us to function independently. And I think we need to encourage persons to respect that. You find your own way to do your task, and we have to find our way as well.
Yeah,
So,
all is
Marlo.
required is for the person just to ask, do you want assistance
Correct.
to cross the street? Don't just assume that either they will or want or they won't want because of the above being that one blind person who didn't want assistance. You have to just ask.
So, how have your children been managing with their friends who may be questioning how come their dad is blind?
Listen, one of the reasons why I did what I did is because of my children, because I didn't want them to be ashamed of me in the school. Now, they literally ask me to come to school because they want to show off their dad. That's the thing. You understand? As my daughter told me, say, Daddy, even if I Google your name, it's a whole set of. That's because I mean, I was in judo, I was in powerlifting, and all these things because I don't want them to be a thing where they're too ashamed to see what the ML does, I can't see. I went to my daughter's school for a PT meeting, and by the time it went for break time, I was sitting outside waiting for somebody to come and pick me up. And while I'm sitting in the courtyard, a whole crowd around me asking questions.
I think,
Yeah.
as you correctly said earlier in our conversation, your personality, your temperament plays a big role in how you adjust to your disability, as well as how you interact with society, with friends, with family, with co-workers, neighbors, you know. It really makes a significant difference. And I will want to encourage everybody to really try to be a bit more outgoing, a bit more
Oh,
affable,
yeah.
you know? It's
Oh, yeah.
important.
Take it in steps, take it in parts. You don't want to just stay home and just, seclude yourself from everyone. You know, for you
Correct.
to really benefit
Mm-hmm.
to be able to socialize and deal with everyone. And most people like socialize with other people, see? So,
Right. So, Marlo, you've had a very exciting life. You were a policeman with
still a
sight, you're
policeman.
still a policeman without sight, you're a family man, you are into quite a number of things, Toastmasters. So tell us now
Toastmaster,
about that social aspect of your life, being involved in so many different aspects.
what
How has
happened
it
to
helped in breaking down barriers?
me? Oh, because let me see, in Trinidad and the Tobago, there are only two blind Toastmasters. That's myself and the person who invited me to a Toastmasters club. Toastmasters is an organization that pretty much deals with leadership and communication. So it's different roles that you do in order to learn it. You're learning these skills, these soft skills, which is right to communication. Prior to joining Toastmasters, I would usually do a lot of workshops and lectures and so on. But I noticed that when I spoke, I just spoke what came to my mind. It wasn't really structured per se. It was whatever came to my mind, I just said it. And it was just like all over the place. From my Toastmasters club, I learned how to use my voice in order to bring about a specific result. It's not just what you see, but it's how you see it. So like for example, there was a time I spoke about my mentor at, oh, there's a corporal that mentored me. And I spoke that eventually my mentor and I became the best of friends. And I said he was a groomsman in my wedding, and I unfortunately was a pallbearer at his funeral. So that way I can cause person like, wow, and like, oh my God, she died. So these are the things that you can do. It is an art form. It's like you're painting with your words. That's what I love Toastmasters for. I like the fact that once I am quite familiar with the stage area, I would walk from side to side to the point where people say, I thought you were talking to me, that you were looking directly at me. I say, yeah, but my eyes are always closed. So not, it doesn't really matter whether you can see or not. It's whether you can convey a message in the way that you want that person to listen. So it doesn't really matter whether you can see or not. The whole fact is that you have your faculties and you can basically articulate.
Yes. And what about some of the other sports you got involved with?
Oh, well, I went into judo because, I told myself that, listen, criminals don't discriminate. That is one thing. We are accustomed to discrimination, but criminals don't discriminate. Whether you can see or not, they will rob you. So I
Correct.
learned that in order to protect myself. And judo is a wonderful sport because it's more physics, in my opinion, than a martial art. So I did that. And then prior to that, I did powerlifting. I go on a gold medal in my particular weight class. And yeah, and the whole thing really was to really impress my children so that they wouldn't be, ashamed or anything. But I mean, I kind of overdid it. So it's powerlifting, then judo, then Toastmastering.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I did some rappelling. I climbed on a 400-foot cliff, and yeah, I didn't know why I was doing it at the time, but yeah, it was fun while it lasted. Yeah.
Right. Well, this is all part of life, and persons with sight do many of these adventurous things as well.
Oh yeah,
And
ride
if once
horses.
we are put security measures in place to safeguard ourselves, there's no reason why we
Yeah, why
can't
not?
participate in some of these activities. Now, Marlo, one of the big questions right now in the Caribbean is how do we get our young people with disabilities more actively involved in organizations representing PWDs? How do we get more activism out of these younger people?
I think with young persons with disabilities, they must be taught from young to self-advocate, meaning that whatever they have to get, they have to advocate for it. One thing that is not going to happen, you're not going to wait and somebody's going to come to you to help you. That doesn't work at all. You have to go out there and you have to see. You're going to school, okay, sir or ma'am, I need the disability assistance because I need a reader, XYZ, so is the case. Yes, and your university says that you are about inclusion. I need for you to include me or else there will be problems. But even prior to that, they must understand that they can do whatever. Yes, there are some things that is more or less kind of impossible for now, but they must be able to know that they can do whatever they choose. You don't allow society to box you into a section because they feel that is how it should be. No, you decide for yourself what you want to do. I remember reading a book called The Blind Doctor with Jacob Ballotin. He was the only totally blind doctor. And the more he pushed, the more they pushed back. I mean, it was so bad. He was learning different body systems like respiratory and digestive and so on. And because all of the charts were flat, his mother and his mother's friends literally took flour and made like raised versions of it so he can feel and he will learn. He eventually became a valedictorian for that medical thing. And it was just so ironic because prior to that, the students thought that him being in the medical fraternity was a mockery of the profession, not realizing he was actually a benefit to the profession. He was so good that he could literally touch somebody's arm and tell you the temperature without a thermometer, and it was exact. He can put his ear to your chest. I think he was like one of the respiratory experts, and he can tell the issue. It was so thing that the persons who initially did not want him to see them because he's blind and dazzling, and they even call him a pervert and he just want to touch people. That was in the States, but that was in the 1800s. So, the people were very ignorant back then to the point where people literally begged for consultancy from him. So, the whole idea is that one, the youth in their mind, you first have to convince yourself that you can do it, in spite of anybody telling you the latter. As a matter of fact, with me, if it is you want me to do something, tell me I can't do it. Seriously, I detest when somebody tell me, listen, no, you can't do that. No, sir, I want to do it. To show you that it can be done. I might be able to do it in the way that you think, but it can be done. So
Yes,
for a
I think
young
we have
person,
to really challenged ourselves.
So for a young person, they must be able to be around other people that are like-minded. Sometimes you are around persons who all they do is talk about the problems of disabilities and they do and society don't understand us. Yes, we know all that, but what are we doing to fix it? What are we doing to change it? Those are the people that you're supposed to be around. I don't want to be around people who talk about the problems. I feel about hearing people talk about the problems. We know the problems. They say it over and over and over. What I want to know is what are we doing as a people to fix it? What are we doing as a people to change it? Those are the people that you should surround yourself with.
But Marlo, it really has been fabulous talking with you and hearing some of your positive experiences and the love and support that is coming to you, not only from your family, but from your colleagues and management and your workplace. And that is tremendous. We really need that high level of support around us for us to achieve more, you know? So
Of
thank you
course.
very much for sharing with us today, and I look forward to chatting with you again. Any
You're most
parting
welcome.
words you would want to share?
Yes. At the end of the day, you want to be able to not just cope with blindness. You want to excel in spite of blindness. But in some cases, you can excel in spite of and because of blindness. Blindness has taught me tenacity. Blindness has taught me resilience. And blindness has taught me creativity. Well, you should know when you have a challenge, you have to get very creative in order to get
Oh,
to
definitely.
overcome it. You have to get creative. So don't see it as a chore. See it as a choice. You have to choose to excel. The same way you could choose to sit down and feel sorry for yourself, why not choose to learn and grow and to shoot forward? Because at the end of the day, you are some, maybe the catalyst. You may be the cause for another person with a disability to look up at you and to do better or to do as good as you. Yeah.
Well said, and I join with you in expressing those sentiments. Well said. So thanks again, Marlo, and I look forward to chatting with you another time.
You're most welcome.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Eudalie Wickham-Ashby, and my honored guest today, Marlo Parejo from Trinidad and Tobago. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-9660 or 1-246 4307300. You can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And you can check this and past episodes by going to the VOB 929.com website. So until next week, thank you for listening. And I want to say, love yourself, love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. And until then, ciao.